I want to welcome you to the 8 o'clock service this morning. You all look more awake than last night's service, I'll have to say. So thank you for being here. It's going to be a fun time. I have a word for you today that I believe will be an encouragement to you. You know, forever, people used to come up to me and they would say, are you a pastor? Are you a prophet? Or are you an apostle? Or are you an evangelist? Are you a teacher? And I thought, nah, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm really any of those. But then I saw a little bit later on in the Bible, they talked about encouragers. And so today, I know that that's what God's called me to do. And I want you to receive an encouraging word today. All right? Let's begin with a word of prayer, if we might. Father, we thank you so much for all that you're doing here at Church on the Rock. And Father, I pray that you would speak to every single one of us. God, that you would give us a word from your word, a word from your Holy Spirit that will help us, that will guide us, and that will sustain us. Father, I thank you for the pastors, Kim and David Blunt, for what they've deposited into the lives here. I pray that you would bless them and all of their team here at Church on the Rock. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I have a title for my message here today. And the title is this: Fear Not Tomorrow. God is already there. Fear not tomorrow. Why? God is already there, and he's working on your behalf, and he's doing things already in your future. I want to read as we begin from the book of Luke, chapter 12, starting at verse 22. Jesus said this to his disciples: "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor your body as to what you'll put on. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than those birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your lifespan? If then you cannot even do even a very little thing, why do you worry about all these other matters?" It says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was clothed himself. He was not even clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and then tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men and women of little faith? And do not seek what you'll eat or drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things, the nations of the world right now eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. He's telling us, fear not tomorrow. He's already there. There was a great evangelist years ago named Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday said this. He said that fear knocked at my door. Faith answered. And there was no one there. You see, that's the proper response to fear when it tries to show up on our doorstep. And I want to let you know this morning, this good news, that fear is a poor chisel to carve out your tomorrow. And the good news is, if you're looking at your future from a position of fear and worry, the good news is your view is wrong. Your view is distorted. That view is inaccurate. You know, fear and worry, here's what it tries to do. It's like interest paid in advance on something you're never going to own. How many of you would pay interest on a car you know you'd never drive? You wouldn't do that. Would you pay interest on a house you know you'd never move into? But isn't that the way that fear and worry tries to steal from us in our lives? You know, the Swedish have an old proverb that I think says it quite well. The Swedes say this: worry gives a small thing a big shadow. And there's no question that when we allow fear and worry to come into our lives, you know what it does? It never stays the way it came in if we give place to it. It never stays like a little small worry. It goes and when it comes in, it wants to grow and grow and grow and create this huge shadow that affects every area of our life. Worry gives a small thing a big shadow. Now, I want to tell you a story. I know I've told this story years ago here, but it's so applicable, I want to tell it again. And here's the story, because I think it makes a powerful point. Years ago, I had finished my day at the office. I'd got up from my desk. I began to walk out of the office building. And as I began to walk, I noticed that I had a bump on my knee. And this bump was so big that it actually made my pants stick out right here on the inside of my right knee. And I saw that bump, and instantly this thought came to me: You didn't bump your knee on anything today. And I began to replay my whole day, convincing myself that I'd not bump my knee on anything. You know what? You should never build a case against yourself. It's been said, don't put water in your own boat. The storm will put enough in on its own. And like Pastor Blunt says, stay out of your own way. And did you know Dwight L. Moody said this: I've never met a man who gave me as much trouble as myself. And I began to replay my day, convincing myself I'd not bump my knee on anything. And as I did that, I began to touch this bump, knowing I hadn't bumped my knee on anything. And a second thought came to me: you've had bumps before. This feels different. This doesn't feel like a bump. It feels like a lump. And I'm touching it. I didn't bump my knee on anything. This feels different. And within 5 minutes of thinking like this, I now began to picture myself playing golf with only one leg. You see, through fear and worry, I had gone from a bump to a lump to a stump. Now, I don't know if you do this or not, but by now I'm driving home. And all of a sudden, I realized what I was doing. And I went, time out. You're so stupid. You know, there's something powerful about stopping. Saying, time out. Stop. I'm going to get the right perspective. I went, time out, John. You're so stupid. I thank you that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I thank you that the Bible says that the believers can lay hands on the sick and that they recovered. And I put my hand on my knee and I said a prayer. And by the time I was home, that bump was completely gone. But I'd allowed a small thing to become a big shadow. You see, everything God wants for you in your life is right on the other side of your fears. That's why we're talking about this today. You see, I think when fear comes, when it rises in our minds, we should expect the opposite. I sincerely believe one of the reasons why the Bible was written is to teach us to expect the opposite of what we see in the natural. So fear comes. We should expect the opposite, which is faith to rise up. If lack would try to come into our lives, we should expect the opposite, which is God's provision to come in. If symptoms would attack our bodies, we should expect the opposite, which is God's healing power to come in. Yes. The Bible says it this way. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but the opposite. Power, love, a sound mind, right? I don't know if you know this or not, but the word worry itself comes from an Anglo-Saxon word that means to choke or to strangle. And there's no doubt that if we allow worry to dominate our lives, it begins to choke off all the important things in our life. It begins to strangle our dreams. It begins to choke off the creativeness that God has in every single one of our lives. So I try to do this every night. I follow this famous advice. At night, I give all my worries and fears to God, because he's going to be up all night anyways. The Bible puts it this way. We should cast our cares upon God, because he cares so much for us. How many of you are fishermen or fisher ladies here today? You, that word cast means something to you. It's not like I'm going to hand it right off to you, Star, where I can get it right back. No! Cast your cares. Throw them a long way. Give them all the way to heaven. Get rid of them. Cast them. Right? Why? Because he cares for you. William Ward said this. Worry is faith in the negative. Trust in the unpleasant. Assurance of disaster and belief in defeat. Worry is a magnet that attracts negative conditions, but faith is a more powerful force that creates positive circumstances. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. The great writer Dale Carnegie said this. He said, an old man was asked, what had robbed him of joy in his life? And the old man said, things that never happened. You see, fear, it wants you to run from something that isn't after you. And people, all of us, we spend our lives running from things, worrying about things, running away from things that aren't after us. And I don't know if you know this or not, but psychologists will tell us that over 99% of the things that you and I worry about don't happen. There's things that you and I lost sleep over a year ago we can't even remember today. You see, what you fear about tomorrow is not here yet. And worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you going, but you don't get anywhere. And if you can't help worrying, remember, worrying can't help you either. And like my friend Tim Redmond said, he said, don't tell me that worry doesn't do any good. I know better. The things that I worry about don't happen. You see, the challenge is that most people believe their doubts, then doubt their beliefs. But we should do like the old saying and feed our faith and then watch our doubts starve to death. You see, too much analysis always leads to paralysis. You know, you're thinking about it, you're mulling it over, you're considering all the angles, you're doing this, and you find yourself completely frozen and stuck. You see, it only seems like you're doing something when you're worrying. I guess I can put it this way. Stop believing everything that you think. We all need to stop believing everything that you think. You see, this morning, what I'm presenting to you is the choice that we all may have. We have a decision that we need to make. Are we going to choose fear, or are we going to decide on faith? Faith in God. It's kind of like little Billy. A pastor asked little Billy if he said his prayers that night. Yes, sir, little Billy said. And the pastor said, well, do you always say them in the morning too? No, sir, Billy replied. I'm not scared in the daytime. We've got this choice in front of us. You see, I've found that when I'm worried, it's because I'm trying to do it all myself. And when I'm at peace, it's because I remember that God is in control. And that He is for me, and He's not against me. And He's in my future. And when you put your cares in God's hands, He puts His peace in your heart. You see, this morning we're all just one faith decision away from a totally different life. I guess if I can say it this way, I'm trying to get us to turn the page. Because you get stuck on that page of fear and worry, it's going to create this huge shadow that'll affect every area of your life if you let it. The truth is, we don't have any right to complain about what we permit. And some of our troubles and fears, they continue simply because we allow them. And my exhortation to you today is to stop. Stop letting that happen. I remember, I guess now I could say, many years ago, when I first started to go out and speak in churches and minister, and I got a call from a guy in Buffalo, New York, a really nice pastor who asked me to come minister in his church, and also he had some other friends in that area, and he set up some other opportunities for me to minister at some other places. And he said, listen, I really want to get to know you. Would you, when you come in, would you come to a dinner at my house? I'll have all the key volunteer leaders and the staff there. And then I'd like to ask you to stay at my house. Well, you know, I'm just starting out. I don't really know anything. I'm like, okay, no problem. I'll be there. So I remember flying in there. We had a really nice dinner with all of his team of people. And then he said, you're going to be in the bedroom right down the hallway, the first door on the right. Okay. So I remember taking my luggage down to that room, and I began to unpack my stuff, and I began to get all my clothes out and hanging them up and all this kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, I noticed the bed that he wanted me to sleep in. Now, this wasn't just a normal bed at all. It was like, by far, the smallest bed I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, it wasn't a twin size. It was like a micro bed. I mean, I'm only 5'8". And I remember laying on it with my clothes on, and I'm laying there, and like my feet are hanging off the edge. And I couldn't move to either side. I was like, I didn't even fit in the bed. And all of a sudden I thought, okay, this guy's, he's pranking me. He's trying to do something to me, you know? And that was not the case. I soon realized this is where I was going to sleep tonight. So I'll never forget getting under the covers of that short bed, my feet hanging off the edge, my hands to my sides like this, knowing that I can't move right or left. All night long, I remember having a very vivid dream about falling off a cliff, either to my right or left, and I didn't sleep very well that night at all. And I'll never forget waking up and being so thankful that I hadn't died after I slept in this short bed. And I got up and I did the best I could the next morning and everything. But I never found out why he put me in this bed, of all places. But I did take away this lesson, that if you don't decide what's important in your life, somebody else will decide for you. And isn't that true with fear and worry? If you don't decide to live by faith, there are plenty of people that will fill you up with fear. All the media, all the social media, all your negative friends. If you don't decide, you and I don't decide, somebody else will decide for you. You know, one of my favorite things to encourage people is this thought. Not everybody has a right to speak into your life. Not everybody has a right to speak into your life, so stop letting them. Especially the devil. Or especially people that are speaking on his behalf. You see, I think today more than ever we have to, as Christians, choose faith over fear. Don't settle for the short bed the rest of your life. Don't settle for the short bed in your faith walk. You see, the simple fact is to move from where you are, you've got to decide where you would rather be. And when we decide in faith, here's what happens. God moves too. All kinds of things begin to happen that never would have happened before until you stepped out by faith and chose faith over fear in your life. You know, the writer of Alice in Wonderland, Lewis Carroll, said this, quote, "In the end, we only regret the chances we didn't take, the relationships we were afraid to have, and the decisions that we waited too long to make." You see, there comes a day, and I hope it is today, that when you realize that choosing faith and moving forward and turning the page is the best feeling in the entire world, because you've decided there's so much more in your book than the page that you're stuck on this morning. Turn the page. Turn the page. Here's the cool thing. The fact is that God, He's at work right now, all the time, and sometimes when you least expect it, that's what He does. He's at work right now. He's at work in your future. He's lining things up. He's pitting people across your path. He's sending ideas into your life. It's happening right now. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "The eyes of the Lord run true and..." Let me say that again in slow motion. "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, that He might show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him." You see, God, He doesn't want you just to get by. He doesn't want you to barely make it. He wants to show Himself strong in your life. You see, what you see depends mostly on what you look for. And the Bible's true. when it said, he who is able to do super abundantly, more than we can all dare ask or think, hope, dream, beyond our greatest prayers, according to the power that's at work within us. I like to just make it very simple. Do this. Never put a question mark where God has put a period. That's why a lot of us get in trouble. He's in your future working on your behalf. Jesus said, my Father is always working, and so am I. He's at work when you least expect it. Right now. I'll never forget, I'd signed up for college. I was going to my very first freshman English class, first semester. I come into the class and I see this cute little brunette. And I think, I'm going to go sit over near her. And so I made my way over near her. In fact, I ended up sitting right next to her. And we began to chat a little bit before the class. And she told me that she had 2 syllabi for that class. I'm like, who has 2 syllabi for a class? Of course, I didn't have any. And so she, being the nice person she was, gives me her an extra syllabus. Well, it wasn't that long after that that I asked her out on a date. And I've been dating her ever since. 43 years of marriage next month. When I least expected it, half asleep, 7:50 in the morning, freshman English class. She had her other class canceled and was forced to go into this class. She didn't have any control on it. She's a social work major. I'm a business major. That is about as far apart as you can get. And we're in freshman English class together, her with 2 and me with 9. And that's the summary of our marriage ever since, too, by the way. You see, God was at work, lining us up, sending us from New York, her, me, Indiana, into that class, lining it up. And forever, my life was going to be changed. You can meet thousands of people in your life without anybody touching you. And then God sends you 1 person, and your life is changed forever. You see, he's at work in your life right now. And isn't it wonderful to know that he's doing that? You see, imagine a year from now. And realize that today, God is already working on your behalf. He knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And we don't have to know everything today. We don't have to know everything today. We just need to trust him today with our future. The Bible says in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Fear not tomorrow. God's already there. Corrie ten Boom said it this way. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I'll wrap up my sermon with this little poem. Said the robin to the sparrow, I'd really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. You see, worry is a route that leads from somewhere to nowhere. Never let it direct your life. I don't know if you know this or not, but the phrase, do not be afraid, is actually in the Bible 365 times. A daily reminder to live a fearless life with a faith-filled decision. So fear not tomorrow, because God is already there. And he's working on your behalf. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out this week's message. I want to invite you to take your next step by checking out our online community. Our purpose is to help you know God better. And one way to do that is to take Growth Track, where you'll find out what it means to belong to a church family. Another way is for you to get involved in a small group, because life is better together. To take your next step, go to cotr.org/online or reach out to us at online@cotr.org. Hope to hear from you soon, and don't forget that God is for you.